And thank you for bringing us together as a family of God. We thank you for the food that we all shared together, the fellowship and the conversations here tonight. And now, Lord, as we join together in hearing your word, speaking your word, and singing your word, I pray as we hear your word preached, the words in my mouth, the meditation of our heart would be pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our Lenten sermon series over the next 6 weeks, or 5 weeks now, is based on this theme verse from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, better known as the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Last week, on Ash Wednesday, we examined the first fruit that is mentioned. Anyone remember what that is? It starts with an L, ends with an E. What was it? Four letters. Love. Good. Yeah. So we established that love is the first, and it is there for a reason. Because love is the place that we begin, as Paul says, to walk by the Spirit. Love is the soil that all other fruits grow from, where the love of God is bearing its fruit of forgiveness, of new life in Jesus Christ. The love that we're talking about is the love that Jesus Christ showed to us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. This word love has different meanings. In the English, obviously, we can say we love our wife, or we love our children, or we love our chocolate ice cream. Each of those contexts of that love is different. But in the Greek, it's actually very specific. The love that we're talking about here that the Apostle Paul gives, the Greek word, is agape, which is a self-sacrificing, unconditional kind of love. This is what defines walking by the Spirit. That is, we deliberately and intentionally devote ourselves to loving God and loving our neighbor. And this is no love in general, but a specific and a concrete kind of love. It's carried out in love for our family, for our friends, our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, etc. And we found out that the fruit of the Spirit grows in us, not by our works or cleaning up our act or being better than others, but real growth comes through confession. Actually, repentance first, and then confession. The awareness that we are totally dependent on the Holy Spirit and His work in us. This list that follows love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all flows and grows out of that one thing that is love. One way to understand these fruits is to compare them to a diamond. A diamond has many facets to it. And as you turn it, each facet makes the diamond sparkle in a unique way. So tonight we look at the facet called joy. We sometimes equate happiness and joy together, but they are not. Specifically, happiness is like a piece of candy. It's sweet and it's tasty for just a short while, and then it's gone, and you're left wanting another. Happiness is something that is fleeting. It's here 1 minute and it's gone the next. Joy, on the other hand, is more substantial. If happiness is a piece of candy, then you could say, The joy is knowing you can get more candy and have it wherever you go in this world. Joy is something you can look at and know it will last, and that nobody can take away from you, and the jar will never run out on it. Joy is the promise that is found in knowing what is now will not always be. Many times when people go through rough patches in their life, they become lonely and even isolate themselves. They may even stop coming to church, being fed by worship and the sacrament. For whatever reason, church is a place that's supposed to be comfortable being uncomfortable with life. Church is a place where it's okay not to be okay. Church is the only place that points to Jesus as the sole source of our joy. So when we turn away from these fruits of the Spirit and turn to these works of the flesh, Paul also lists them as sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. We end up trying to find joy in them as well. And when we do, the Spirit works in us to produce grief and sorrow and regret. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, saying, "For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret." Out of the grief we feel for the sin that we do, the Spirit leads us then to seek forgiveness that Jesus has won for us by his life, his death, and his resurrection. That even in those things we find joy. The Spirit's not afraid to bring us to tears, that he may also wipe away our tears and give us a joy that's rooted and grown in the love of God for us through his Son, Jesus. The joy, which is the fruit of the Spirit, isn't based on our circumstances, on our successes or failures, or the response of those whom we are called to love. No, the joy of which the fruit of the Spirit is based is accomplished in the work of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And so no matter what happens, no one can take your joy that is in Jesus. So we can say, oftentimes I pray, in the midst of people in crisis, I will pray that they don't allow Satan to take their joy away, because he's just waiting there, trying to convince you that you have no joy anymore. But as we say in Bible class, I'm also going through the fruit of the Spirit in Sunday morning Bible class at 9:30 every Sunday. And as I say about joy, is even though there's a cloud cover sometimes, we've been seeing that lately this time of year, we know the sun is still shining on the other side. Even though we can't see it or feel it necessarily, we can't see it completely. We can still see it some because it's light up. But we can't see it in all of its rays of glory. But yet we still know it's there. As the Bible says, we rejoice in our suffering, in our sorrows, in our regrets, even in our sins. We proclaim to ourselves and to each other that our God reigns. So I want you all to just close your eyes as I close here and think about this question for you. How can you have joy in the midst of frustration and sadness? You can have joy because Jesus lived a perfect life for you. You can have joy because Jesus died on the cross for you. You can have joy because Jesus gives the Holy Spirit to be with you. you can have joy because whatever you ask God in Jesus' name, He gives it to you. You can have joy even when people persecute you because Jesus said He will never leave you or forsake you. You can have joy because Jesus promised that one day He will be back to put an end once and for all to all the trials and troubles of this life. Amen and amen.